Excited to have you this morning. I want to first welcome in our midst. Somebody, I had another bulletin. I want to welcome for our litany time, and it's inside of our bulletin. I believe it may also be on the screen. Yolanda, am I right about that? But I want to welcome first Miss Karina Gore. Miss Karina Gore,
you should stand up.
Ms. Karina Gore is an author and an activist in her own right. She is also the leader of an environmental institute at Union Theological Seminary. I have the privilege to serve with her as well as the Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris, where we all try to teach and learn one from another. She is also the daughter of former Vice President Al Gore, who I will introduce later, who's with us this morning. She is the director of the Center for Earth Ethics at Union Theological Seminary. And while she does not have an official license yet, she is one of the best jackleg preachers there, y'all, this side of the Mississippi. Amen. Her father told me all about her preaching and shared with me stories when we were in Alabama together. She was born on August 6, 1973. She's an August baby. Where are all the August babies? All the August babies. But that also means that she was born on the same day a few years earlier, in 1965, 8 years to be exact, that the Voting Rights Act was written into law. And so it's just one of the reasons she's also an advocate of restoring the Voting Rights Act. Let us invite her now to have any comments that she would have and then to lead us in the morning of our reading, the reading of our litany this morning. Welcome to this room.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Reverend Barbara. I'm just deeply honored to be here. I'm very grateful, very thankful to all of you, many of whom I know already in various ways and connections, and others I'm looking forward to meeting. I'm just going to get right to the litany. I'm overwhelmed with the beauty of this sanctuary, and I can feel all of the goodwill and love from you all. So thank you for having us here. Thank you very much. Amen. Litany of an Environmental Confession. God, you created our planet, the birds, fish, and other animals, and you saw that all created things were good. God of life, you also created us, the human family, to be your viceroys and to act compassionately and gently towards all forms of life.
Remind us of God and help us change.
We confess that we often forget that we are utterly dependent upon you and interdependent with the rest of your creation. God of creation, we confess that instead of acting compassionately and gently towards all forms of life, humanity has behaved wantonly and recklessly.
Forgive us, O God, and help us to change.
God of compassion, our land lies polluted under our feet, and we see members of the animal kingdom on land and in sea, dying as a result of the contamination that we have created. God of grace, we confess that we are damaging the earth, the home that you have given us, through our consumerism and the use of products that are constantly polluting our air, land, and water, harming wildlife, and endangering human health.
Forgive us, O God, and help us to change.
God of wisdom, help us understand that whatever we do to the web of life, we do to ourselves. God of power, help us acknowledge that we must act now and wake up to our moral obligations, and that the future of our beautiful planet is in our hands.
Forgive us, O God, and help us to change.
Today, we confess that we have
not done enough to protect our planet. We confess that we have failed to insist that our governments set standards based on precaution. We confess that we as consumers have allowed companies to release dangerous toxins that destroy fragile ecosystems and harm human beings, especially those among us who are most vulnerable. God of justice, help us understand the need and to send a clear signal to our political leaders, choice between the present path of destructiveness or morality. respect for life, acknowledging our dependence upon you and our interconnectedness with all creation.
God of grace and salvation, today we open our eyes, ears, and hearts to the pain of our planet. We open our hearts to your truth, to see in you the way of healing and hope to our planet. We are beloved children of God, forgiven, renewed, and sent out into the world to work for the healing of our planet and for justice in faithfulness to God.
Amen. Amen.
It is important when we gather in the house of God that we know that we come for praise, but we also come for purpose. And our purpose is to be God's hands, God's feet, God's instruments in the earth. And that always means to be on the side of justice, not injustice, on the side of love and not hate, on the side of division, unity and not division, on the side of welcoming and showing radical love and radical hospitality, and not on the side of exclusion and destruction. That is what we're called to as God's people. I want us, after this litany, there's a song, we're going to do just a piece of it. And it says, and they will know that we were Christians by our love. They'll know that we are people of faith by our love. Amen. And if someone needs a reason, a scripture for today, why would you do this ecological piece in the church on Sunday morning? Well, because God did it at the beginning of the Bible. He said that we should have dominion. And the word dominion over the earth does not mean corporate destruction. That word in Hebrew means to take care of. And then in the Psalms, Reverend Johnson, the Lord said that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all them that dwell therein. So if it's God's earth, we don't have any business messing it up. And then the Lord Jesus told us that we have to love God and then love our neighbor as ourselves. When it does not show love to neighbor, when we pause in this side of the community and we don't pause in that side of the community, and when we drop toxins on poor people and we let wealthy communities off, that is not consistent with the gospel. And so I don't know if Yolanda, you all are looking at me, if you all can put that up on the screen, that we know, we'll know by our love. If it's not, but come on, praise team. I know y'all worked on that just a little bit, and you'll pick it up. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord, and we pray. We're going to start it kind of slow, and then we're going to build it just a little bit, all right? Let's go together. Amen.
Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord, and we
moment, we're going to join and stand together, but in the face of marches today, in the spirit of division, we're going to live in the big S spirit of love and justice. But not just those who do the antics of marching. I must say to America that they may not be our greatest problem. As Dr. King in a sermon, when he asked who murdered Jimmie Lee Jackson, he never said a word about the racist Klan, but he did talk about preachers that were quiet and didn't say anything. He did talk about politicians who never use racist language but every day pass policies that hurt poor people and hurt black people and hurt Latino people, which enable a kind of vitriol. And we must challenge that as well, because racism and classism and those things are not just antics or a rally or somebody saying the N-word. It's about policies that don't just hurt black people and brown people, but are against America itself, against love itself. So if you want to be on the side of love and on the side of justice and on the side of what is right, I'm going to ask you to stand for just a second as we sing this together and we pick it up. Amen. Bring that back up. Keep it on the screen, baby.
Well, no, we are Christians.
We are one.
We are one in the Spirit.
We are one
in the Lord.
Oh, yes.
We are one in the Spirit.
Would you mind grabbing somebody's hand, even in the center aisle? Let's make one. Just reach across the aisle.
We pray
as we sing together. Christians by our love. They'll know we are people of faith by the love of our words, the love of our policies, the love of our actions. Greenleaf, would you stand this morning? All the members of Greenleaf, we all welcome you as members, but we're glad to have everyone that's here. And Greenleaf, if you see some folk, would you just point at them and tell them, and somebody point at the camera for the thousands of people that are online with us, and let's tell them, we are Greenleaf Christian Church, and we are determined to show you the love of God. Amen, amen, amen. And Reverend Bell and Reverend Cheryl, I want to give you all full authority to take us down home. Amen, anytime you feel like it, but I don't want us to be acting different. Right, you got me? Amen, amen. This morning, as a part of our worship service, we have testimonies. And today, as we focus on environmental racism and environmental justice and this special tour, we first want to have a video. And the video will come and show us what is going on, not what is suspected, but what is happening across this state. And then we're going to have two testifiers. Is Kim here? Is Kim Porter here anywhere? Where are the two testifiers? Anna, where are the two testifiers that have come this morning, Bobby? I want you, amen. God bless you. Both of you here, I will invite you, and the trustees, if you all will make this right, members of the media team, make this right, the podium, and they will come after the video and share a 2 or 3 minute testimony, and to help us not only see the facts, but put faces on the facts, and so that we understand why this work that Karina and Brother Gore, he said I could call him Brother Gore, that's a higher term than even Vice President, brother. Amen. Amen. But I could call him that, and that we put faces with this so we'll understand why we do the actions. Amen. They're going to speak from right there. Just make sure there's a mic there. Amen. Bring the video up at this time. We hear Pope Francis's cry that we cannot love our earthly neighbors and yet sit quietly while the earth herself is made unfit for human habitation.
The sky is a very thin shell of atmosphere. That right now is the open sewer for our industrial civilization. We are spewing 110 million tons of heat-trapping global warming pollution into it every 24 hours.
This here is about North Carolina. This is only political by virtue of the fact that it's about democracy. And a community saying we are going to value more than just short-term inequitable monetary gain. And it's time that we all look and see the real cost of what is going on.
My name is Annie Brown. I'm a lifelong resident of Stokes County. I've lived in this area since 1950. And I started getting sick when I was 22. And I love to turn the switch on and have my lights just like anybody else. But at what cost? You know, if I had known that that stuff was toxic, I wouldn't be living where I'm living now.
In 2005, I moved to Washington, D.C., and around 2010, I started to notice that a lot of people back home in Stokes County were really sick and dying of cancer. My mom's cousin had this mysterious leukemia. She died within 2 weeks. Danielle had been diagnosed with a brain tumor, and I knew she didn't smoke or didn't drink, and I just thought that was really strange that someone my age, so young, would have cancer.
My name's Danielle Bailey Lash. When I was 35 years old, I was diagnosed with stage 3 brain cancer, and that was in 2010. I've lived in Walnut Cove in the Stokes County area near Pine Hall Road for 20 some years at least, never expecting to become sick at age 35 and given a expiration date of 3 to 4 months. But now I'm in remission, but the unfortunate thing is even though I've put that behind me, I'm starting to make a connection. Something is not right.
I do not feel that the state is properly keeping tabs on it, the contamination that we're receiving here in the water tables and also in some of the ash pits that we have in the local area. Possibility of the wet, the coal ash getting into the Dan River is a possibility too, contaminating the fish and also the river. It's very close. I mean, it's within 100 feet.
I'm Dr. Deborah Cowan. I'm a veterinarian here in Stokes County. We have lived here since 1993. One of the things we have noticed over the years is back in the early 90s when we first came here, we used to see a lot of Canada geese landing on the pond. And some days you could go out there, there'd be, I don't know, 30, 50, 100. And as time has progressed, you see none.
I'm concerned about wildlife, love wildlife, but I love human life as well. And I have children, I have grandchildren, and I even have great-grandchildren. I'm a young great-grandmother, and I want them to be able to have a life that's free of constant problems that's caused by toxins, you know. I'm concerned about them.
Hallelujah. Amen.
North Carolina and C. Warren partnered with the Faith Community Church and the Beloved Community Center with Reverend Nelson Johnson to have installed solar panels to begin helping the church create electricity there.
In June of 2015, the panels were installed, and we've been very pleased.
Would you believe that after this little church starts getting this new electric power from the sun, it will cost half as much as the big power plants cost, so that the church could save some of its money. And as Jesus says, help the poor.
This is ultimately going to open up the solar energy discussion in a way that would be helpful and productive. But in the short term, we're going to court.
We are selling the electricity to the church. Now, technically, Duke Energy claims that's unlawful. There are only a handful of states where they prohibit solar companies from installing systems on homes and businesses and churches and then sharing the savings with the customer. We've installed solar panels to challenge the law and to create a test case to determine to have either the regulators or the legislature or the courts clarify whether this type of what's called third-party financing really is banned or should it be allowed.
It made sense. It made economic sense. It made environmental sense. It made religious stewardship sense. And this would significantly reduce the carbon footprint. And Duke has no business preventing that. If more churches and people move to rooftop solar, that would be a significant contribution to reducing the carbon footprint. And it would certainly open up a market for jobs. And in fact, in the 12 churches I'm in discussion with, that's one thing we're talking about.
We have to have a higher level of civic involvement in the climate fight, and we have to have it now.
Customers of Duke Energy gathered outside the company's offices today. They are very upset.
We are calling on Duke Energy to stop making climate change worse, to stop polluting our state government, and stop blocking clean energy competition.
Poor people who are the least responsible are in the unfortunate position of having to suffer the most.
We cannot be silent. A world devastated by man's predatory relationship with nature demands that we speak. We must choose community and care of the earth over chaos and greed.
This movement is in the tradition of every great moral movement that has advanced the cause of humankind. And every single one of them has met with resistance to the point where many of the advocates wondered, how long is this going to take? Martin Luther King famously, when someone asked, how long is this going to take? He said, how long? Not long. Because no lie can live forever. How long? Not long. Because the moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We are close in this movement to the tipping point beyond which this movement, like the abolition movement, like the women's suffrage movement, like the civil rights movement, like the anti-apartheid movement, like the movement for gay rights, is resolved into a choice between right and wrong. And because of who we are as human beings, the outcome is foreordained. And it is right to save the future for humanity. It is wrong to pollute this earth and destroy the climate balance. It is right to give hope to the future generation. It will not be easy, and we too will encounter a series of no's. But after the last no comes a yes. And on that yes, the future world depends.
I want to ask all the members of the church, normally we would say amen, but I want you to say action. That is what we need now, action for our time now and our future. You may be seated. Is Jim here this morning? Was Jim Warren here this morning? Anybody from NC Warren here this morning? That's my former lawyer right there. Look at us. How you doing? Good. I just want y'all to know, Nelson, so if there's a need for an East Coast division of churches with solar power, we can do West Coast, East Coast, and North Carolina. Y'all take care of West 95. Greenleaf, can I see the deacons and trustees? Y'all want to get in this and bring some solar power, some solar panels right here and show it how to be done down here in the eastern part of the state? Because we must take on these issues together. Amen. Would you come now and share your testimony and give us your name and who you are? Because this is real. Come right this way. Amen. Members of the media, I know some of you want, but we need you to film from back there if you can. And amen. Thank you, Brother Three, for turning that straight. Amen. And face it toward the people so that, amen. There we go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm genuinely honored to be here. Thank you so much for letting us have this opportunity to talk about this in front of such a large audience. We haven't always had the opportunity to do that, so that's great. My name is Mindy Hodge, and I have been involved in the Coalash movement here in Wayne County pretty much since it began back in 2014. Prior to that, I've lived here my entire life. My family has lived here for generations, and no one had ever even heard of Coalash. Those ponds have been there for decades, and nobody knew anything about it. Other than obviously some employees of Duke Energy, Progress Energy, and CP&L who originally dug the pits so many years ago. So my first thought is, how can something so toxic and so bad and so irresponsible be in a community and be so hidden for so long? And why was it hidden like that? You know, what was the reason behind it? I do happen to know that the power plants always warned their employees not to eat fish from the ponds on their property. They knew for a long time that what was in those ponds was dangerous to humans and dangerous to the wildlife around it, and they've done a lot of work to keep people out of them. But in 2014, the Dan River dam broke, the Coalash pit broke out there, and it caused devastation for miles down the Dan River. I remember watching the news and feeling so bad for those people. The businesses that relied on the river would be devastated. It would be years, if not decades, of cleanup. Even after some of our state agencies claimed that it was all cleaned up, there's definitely evidence that it is still not cleaned up. So I was signing a petition for the Sierra Club after the Dan River spill, and they had a map on their website of all the coal ash locations in North Carolina, and there was Goldsboro. I didn't know anything about it. Nobody knew anything about it, and I just found that to be very odd. You know, I currently live in the Rosewood community. I purchased my home there in 2012, 2 years before the Dan River spill. Nobody said a word about coal ash, and I live about a mile and a half from it. So what does that do to your property values when people find out that you literally live down the street from a toxic pit that is seeping into the river, that's being burned and released into the air? What does that do to our property values? What does that do to our quality of life? You can ask the hundreds of people in Rosewood that have had cancer or died from cancer in the past 20 years. Hundreds. You know, there's no doubt in my mind of what's happening out there. And the problem now is that it's come to light. They can't deny anymore that this is what's going on. So now they say, well, we don't have the money to clean it up. You should pay for it. Yeah. Except for we paid them to burn it in the first place. They got paid billions of dollars to create the electricity with that coal, right? And so now, even though they've reported over $1 billion in profit since January of this year, our state legislators allowed them to raise our electric bills to help pay for the cleanup of this coal ash, and their cleanup plan is to burn it again. It's to burn it again so they can make products out of it that they can turn around and sell and make money off of. So we need different state legislators, y'all.
That's right.
We've got a serious problem going on in North Carolina. We need a major change, and we need people in voting booths voting for people who care about their neighbors instead of corporate interests. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Church.
Good morning.
If you just give me a quick second. Dear Lord, thank you for choosing me to bring word to your people. I pray that my words may inspire them to take action and that your will be done. All praise and glory belong to you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
If you travel west on Old Smithfield Road, you'll find hopelessness and despair. If you travel west on Old Smithfield Road, you'll find sickness, pain, and suffering. Death, too, has been there. You see, tucked away behind the tree stands the H.F. Lee plant. For decades, coal was burned, coal ash was deposited, and the towering smokestacks have released coal ash dust upon the community. Once released, the dust was everywhere. Residents would awake in the morning with their cars covered in the dust, as they call it. The dust was in their gardens. The dust was in their lawn. The dust was in their well water. Years go by, national clean air regulations were imposed, and the toxins previously released into the air are now being stored in coal ash ponds. Ponds, I must tell you, that run along the Neuse River and are unlined and uncovered. So when the hurricanes Floyd and Matthews crossed North Carolina, the floods came and took unmeasurable amounts of coal ash downstream with it. Some reports show contamination as far east as Kinston. While canvassing the areas around the HFE plant, the residents told me there are stories and how cancer has taken the lives of family members, friends. The property values have plummeted, and many who wish to relocate can't sell or don't have the funds needed to do so. I've witnessed the intimidation tactics used to scare off members of the Down East Coal Ash Coalition, residents who bonded together to fight the mighty giant, Duke Energy. Ladies and gentlemen, I came here today to inform you that the gap has widened. When we first embarked on this journey, we had a friend in the White House. Today, not only have we lost that friend, we've also lost the Environmental Protection Agency, commonly known as the EPA. Regulations that were put in place to ensure we have clean water and clean air have been wiped away. So today, more than ever before, as the bishop of this great house has charged us. Stand in the gap. Stand in the gap for clean water. Stand in the gap for clean air. Stand in the gap for environmental justice.
Amen.
Stand in the gap for Mother Earth.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, stand in the gap. Forward together.
Not one step back.
Forward together.
Not one step back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Brothers and sisters, these are the faces that accompany the facts. And it requires action. This is church, y'all. Church should be where we tell the truth. And church should be where we call for action. Jesus spent most of his time outside of the temple. But whenever he was in the temple, he always lifted up the issue of justice. His first sermon was, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, recover sight to the blind." Pollution and destruction of our earth is not good news. So we must declare that we will stand. I must make one editorial, because this church and this pulpit, we try to engage in prophetic ministry. And prophetic ministry means that neither Democrats nor Republicans have done enough. Why y'all scared to say amen? Huh? Now, I didn't say one didn't do more than the other, but neither Democrats nor Republicans have done enough. You hear what I'm saying? You may currently have an occupant that is going to the extreme, but none of us have done enough. We haven't done enough on health care. We haven't done enough on living wages. We haven't done enough on environmental. And there must be a movement that says we are not left or right. We are not Democrat or Republican. We are trying to figure out what's right versus wrong, and we fight for what is right. And I have to say that in the house of God. And the reason I have to say it is partly because some people will tell us, if we could just go back to yesterday. I'm hearing a lot of so-called progressives and liberals say, if we could just go back to yesterday. And I want to say, really? You think all our answers are behind us? These coal ash ponds were set up under both parties in this state. What we do have now is a choice between those who don't care and will ignore, and those whom we can cause to care and can call and can move them. And so I want to say that. I want to say that. I want to say that real clearly. That, and say that to all of the people who are running now in this moment. You know, we're not here to promote anybody's candidacy, but anybody that's running now, we don't just want to hear who you're against. We want to know what you're for. America needs a vision now, and not just a vision of who you're against, but a vision of who, what you're for. And then when you get in office, stick to it and don't change. And so I want to say that to me. Now, I've got to do one thing, because I got to be here as a pastor long after some of y'all leave. I got to make sure my mothers are all right. I got some mothers here in the church, been around for 80-some years or not. So Sister Crank, Sister Gloria, and who's that? Sister Karen May. Are y'all all right in those chairs? You want to be up here? Because you sure y'all all right? Y'all in praying space over there. All right. I'm going to check my mother. How about deacons? My elder deacons. Y'all all right, Brother Crank? Y'all all right? Okay. Amen. All right. We want you to also take out your cell phones right now, if you would. 909-75-909. If you're interested in the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for a moral revival, Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris and myself would want you to text ACTION to 909. You can take your cell phones out in church, 909-75. You take them out, you know, most of me anyway. I see y'all texting anyway, so go ahead on and do it openly. No secret sins around here, just be open. 909-75, if you would. And those who are listening by Zoom and by live stream, 909-75, text ACTION to 90975. All of the members of the North Carolina group of the Poor People's Campaign, would you just raise your hand all over, all over? And we pray today will come when everybody in this room will be a part, amen, all over the country. I was saying today, you know, they're going to spend all this time presenting what these white supremacists are doing. And I want, right, CNN and some others said, go back and pull that film a few weeks ago when 5,000 black and white and brown and Latino people did nonviolent civil disobedience around a progressive agenda. Look at the thousands of people all across the country that have joined in. In fact, media, the biggest story today is not some people who are hooked up in hate, but how in a community like Wayne County that used to be a bedrock of segregation, a community like Wayne County where people have spent so much time pulling people apart, that you had a black woman, a white woman and a black man come here and stand together who've been united by pain to fight for justice. That's thought to be the head story of the day. Look at what you see in this church. And so the time has come now for us. I know, I have to say this also as pastor, that many of you have come. There is no cover fee to come in the Lord's house. But the Bible does say anytime you come before the Lord, you should leave a gift. Here at Greenleaf, many times we give the word and we trust that people will give a gift afterwards of your own free will. So we're not going to do the offering now. Some people are scared if you don't do it before the sermon or the preacher folk will leave. But I know y'all are not that kind of people. Especially with all these cameras, you're not just going to get up and just walk out. So I'm believing that after the word and after the invitation, you will stay and sow a seed, an offering in the work of the Lord here. I want to move all of my stuff out of the way, Brother Gore, this morning. Now, did y'all get it? 909-75. Text action to 909-75. I want to also just mention all of the members of our sick and shut-in list this morning, just because we're having a special order, we forget no one. Amen. All of the persons on our sick and shut-in list, our recovery list, Brother Elliot Dukes, Brother Barry Fennell, who went through major surgery, kidney surgery, and is home recovering, his wife Jackie, God answered prayer. Sister Bertha Glory, Sister Shirley Hennett, Doretha Hobbs, Ella Horn, Lily King, Della McCullough, Geraldine Rowe, Wendy Smith, Maurice Douglas Townsend. We continue to pray and lift him up, Sister Jean, Tony Townsend, Patricia Moses, Pat and James Betts. We lift them up this morning. God our Father, touch and bless those who are recovering. We know that you are a healer. Your name is Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Send your glory, send the power of healing. In Jesus' name, amen. I also want to take time to recognize a girl all the way from Alabama, Lowes County, Alabama. She's one of the baddest sisters I know when it comes to fighting. She's in a county where 35% of all the people have hookworms in their water. Less than 20 miles from the Edmund Pettus Bridge. It looks like the civil rights movement has never even came through. We still have work to do, you all. And that is just none other than Sister Catherine Flowers. Catherine, would you stand up? She is a tremendous advocate. She's been helping to take care of Benjamin. Where's Benjamin? Benjamin spent 10 weeks in Montgomery studying. And then, is he in the house anywhere? Did he get married too? Oh, there he is. There he is. I have to watch my boys. I have to watch them. They're of that age. But we're so thankful. Thank you for being here today. Amen. And now, after the choir has sung a song, we want to have come. And I didn't know that he was born in the same month as my father. My father was born on March 21st. If I'm not mistaken, you were born on March the 34th. In 1948, my father was in the Navy that just integrated. When you were being born, he went in the segregated Navy. By the time he came out, it was being integrated. But Brother Al Gore is the former Vice President of these United States and one of the most moral statesmen of our time. If you want to see, ever read, and your children to say, someone who put country before personal gain, Lord, how we need that today. The first witness that would take the stand in history would be that of Brother Al Gore, who put country before personal gain. And we ought to love him for that and thank God for his witness. He is the leading voice in environmentalism, one of the leading voices today. He also is an author, an activist, and he could have just said, I'm just going to go somewhere and just relax. But he chose to fight for the future, not only of his children's children, but to call us to fight for the future of all of our children's children. And he was awarded, like Dr. King, the Nobel Peace Prize for his work, for his service, for his commitment to justice and a better world. I want us all over North Carolina to give a mighty round of ovation. And once the choir has sung, I'm going to invite him and his daughter to come to the pulpit. As the choir sings. Thank you.
environmental destruction. Our hallelujah belongs to you. Would you welcome former Vice President Al Gore to this pulpit?
Thank you. Thank you, my dear friend. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you so much for this privilege to be here. Reverend Barber, I'm here for many reasons, but first and foremost is my respect for you and your leadership and your teaching. You have begun something here that is spreading across this country. I want to express my gratitude to the deacons and to the members of the church, to Reverend Barber's family, his wife Rebecca, his children Will, William III, Benjamin, Andrew, Sherelle, to all of the distinguished guests who are here. Forgive me for not knowing how to single each one out. I'm so grateful that my daughter Corinna and I have both been invited here. I can tell you that it gives me a profound sense of joy to be able to work with my daughter. Catherine Flowers has already been acknowledged. She is on the board of the Climate Reality Project, which is the organization that I use to try to deliver the message of about the climate crisis and about the solutions to the climate crisis that are available. And she works closely with Corinna at the Center for Earth Ethics at Union Theological Seminary, where Dr. Barber is teaching as well. This church has become well known not only in your community, not only in the state of North Carolina, but all over this country. The Moral Mondays movement has, and there were other versions of that movement before Moral Mondays, as many of you well know, but Moral Mondays has now spread to neighboring states and as far as California, and other churches are being called to move their feet as they pray and to work for change in the beloved community. So this day is a blessing. And this day is also 1 year since the horrible death that occurred, three deaths that occurred in Charlottesville 1 year ago today. I want to remember the families of those whose lives were taken and put it in the context of the movement that is associated with this church. You are primarily associated with delivering the good news from your doorstep, your doorsteps to the ends of the earth, in the words of the book of Acts. And the Poor People's Campaign, resurrected by Dr. Barber and Reverend Theo Harris, and empowered by so many with good hearts and a conscience and hopes for the future on this year, this 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King. The environmental justice movement is now part of the Poor People's Campaign. All right. 50 years ago, Dr. King preached and worked against the three evils of racism, poverty, and militarism. Under Reverend Barber's leadership, another evil has been added to that list, ecological destruction. And it is about time. And it is not a surprise that it begins here in North Carolina, because the environmental justice movement was really born not far from here in Warren County, North Carolina. In 1982, PCBs, one of those harmful, toxic, poisonous chemical compounds that causes disease and cancer and suffering, was being scooped up from places where it had been dumped and all put together, and they planned to put it in a big PCB hazardous waste dump in Warren County. Many people have forgotten that history, but in an overwhelmingly African-American community, which because of systemic injustice and all of the legacy that we know so well, had been deprived of sufficient economic and political power to defend themselves against this insult and assault. 500 people laid down on the road to stop the trucks and were arrested that day because they had the caring and compassion for their own children and for their neighbors and for those who would come after them to stop the poisoning of the environment of that community, to protect the air, to protect the water, to protect the nature in which they live. One of the young men who spent time in that movement in Warren County during those days was Reverend William Barber I, also known as Buster Barber. The first, the second, the third. He had a degree in physics. The third has a degree in physics. You don't have a degree in physics.
No.
Just checking. I don't either. It's above my pay grade. But one of the things those physicists teach is, and you all heard it, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. When elections took a terrible turn here in North Carolina, that was an action. Moral Mondays were a reaction, and look what happened as a result. When they started to dump that poison in Warren County, there was a reaction, and sometimes the reaction takes time. But this environmental justice movement, which began in an African-American community in North Carolina, is now spreading across this land. 10 years after Buster Barber and those 500 who were arrested began this movement, I introduced legislation in the Senate with my friend John Lewis, a congressman from Atlanta, a legend and a hero and a moral teacher, and it was not passed. But with Bill Clinton, I was able to get it enacted as an executive order. But it's not nearly enough. And it's worth recalling the basic principles of environmental justice. If people have been deprived of power, deprived of influence, deprived of the advantages that they might otherwise have been able to enjoy, but for the systemic discrimination and the legacy of hatred and injustice, they would be able to protect the nature around them. But when they cannot, the smoke plumes come their way because the origin of the pollution and the smoke is so frequently put just upwind from where the poor communities live. When the hazardous waste dumps are located, those are the communities where it's located. When the coal ash is dumped, the Dan River spill was the second largest coal ash spill. The first largest was in my home state of Tennessee, Kingston, Tennessee, not too many years ago. You know, they scooped up a lot of that and they sent it in trucks and rail cars down to a poor African-American community in Alabama, not far from where Catherine Flowers lives. This is a pattern, and it repeats itself. It is easier sometimes to focus on fast, quick violence than slow, pervasive, continuing violence. But the environmental justice movement awakens us to the kinds of injustice that are often more long-lasting, that tear apart communities. If you take people away from the clean air they need to breathe and the clean water they need to drink, it's like taking a nursing infant from its mother's breast and putting it in a cage, and they've done that too. But we need to speak out against the interruption of the plan and the natural order that God intends. And we know that pollution and injustice go together. When Cain slew his brother Abel, the Bible teaches us that the land where Abel's blood was spilled would not yield crops again. When communities are riven apart by segregation, it is not only the people of color that are subject to the injustice, the entire community, the studies, the statistics are overwhelming. They prove this. Communities that are divided by race, divided by income, do not have the same ability to come together in a fusion of conscience and social justice and power to defend themselves. Pollution and environmental injustice hurt everyone. There was a fusion 120 years ago here in North Carolina. Before Reconstruction was taken apart, an African-American senator was sent from North Carolina to Washington, and then the Wilmington riots came. And the violence was used as a tool, and the terrorism was used to keep people apart. We know that this is a pattern that has been going on for a long time, but it can be healed. We can stand in the gap. I learned so much from these two testimonies that we heard this morning. And I want to make it clear that although Reverend Barber has generously asked me to say these words to you, I'm primarily here in North Carolina to listen and to learn, and not only from Dr. Barber, but from the people who are affected by this environmental injustice. Not only this morning, but we are going on a tour, and we're going to the coal ash sites. We're going to the communities. We're going to other churches. 2 full days, 3 nights and 2 days, we're going to spend listening and learning and taking this testimony and trying to deliver the message of these people who are affected to others throughout this country. But we already know a lot. Many people are not aware that the pollution in the air makes asthma worse, makes respiratory diseases, pneumonia, pleurisy, etc. Many people do not know that African American children in these United States of America are 10 times more likely to die from asthma related to air pollution than children who are not African American. I could give you many other statistics, but just as the pollution goes in the air, it goes into the ground, and this coal ash is poison. Now they want to stop monitoring it in the same way that the law used to require. Pope Francis said recently, if man doesn't want to see, he doesn't see. If they don't want to know whether or not the poison is going into the groundwater and from the groundwater into our bodies, if they don't want to see, then they don't monitor. If they don't want to take action, they take the responsibility away from the experts and give it to some political appointee. The Bible teaches us, I lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. The Bible also says, if there's a signal on the mountain, look. Pay attention. In the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus tells the parable of the unfaithful servant. The master of the house goes off on a journey and instructs his servant to keep the house safe and secure during his absence. And when he comes back, he finds that vandals have come in the house and ransacked it and taken some of his belongings. And he asks his servant, "What happened?" And the servant says, "I fell asleep And Jesus says, that is not an acceptable excuse. We have a responsibility to keep our eyes open, to look when the signal comes, to be aware, and to act, to take action against the injustice that we see. As I mentioned, you chose words from the book of Acts to define your mission to take the good news to and serve and love people to the ends of the earth. What are the ends of the earth? What are the ends of the earth? Does a circle have an end? The earth is round. Well, some people don't even think the earth is round. I believe that's accepted science. If you can go far enough to where you can't breathe anymore, maybe that's the ends of the earth. If you could drive a car straight up in the air at normal highway speeds, you'd get to the place where you can't breathe anymore in about 5 minutes. So you could say the ends of the earth are up in the sky, surrounding our planet, the air that we depend upon for life. That is what we are using as an open sewer. Compare it to coal ash. Coal ash, as I've said, is a poison. 110 million tons produced each year. 110 million tons of gaseous pollution that traps heat is dumped into the sky every day. 365 days a year. And the accumulated amount of this man-made global warming pollution, which comes from the same processes like burning coal that produces the coal ash on the ground. The accumulated amount now traps as much extra heat energy as would be released by 400,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs exploding every single day. Hard to imagine. It's a big planet, but that's a lot of energy. Has it been hot recently? All over the world, the records are falling one by one by one. We're seeing heat stress kill a lot of people. In places, tens of thousands of people taken to the hospital in Japan last week because of the record-breaking temperature. 67 people died in Canada, in Montreal, because of the record-breaking heat. In Europe and Africa, in Asia, 129.2 degrees in Pakistan. What about the overnight low when people try to cool off from a hot day? Another record was broken. The highest low temperature, 108 degrees in the coolest part of the night in the country of Oman. 51 hours passed before the temperature went below 108 degrees. People cannot live for long if we keep on raising the temperature by trapping all this extra heat. But that's not all of it, because most of this heat goes into the oceans and it puts all the water vapor in the sky. That's why we get these rain bombs. How long was it since you had that 500-year flood here? Not too many years ago. They call them rain bombs, and you know what I'm talking about. We had one in my hometown of Nashville, Tennessee. Thousands of my neighbors lost their homes and businesses, and they didn't have any insurance because it had never flooded in those areas. What about Houston, Texas? Hurricane Harvey dropped 5 feet of rain. You take the entire full flow. Anybody been to Niagara Falls here? You've seen it on TV, several people. You imagine the full flow of Niagara Falls for 500 days. That's how much water fell on Texas in 5 days. And this pattern is happening also all over the world. Tens of thousands of people have been driven from their homes today in part of India. I could go around the world and cite the other examples. Every night on the television news is like a nature hike through the book of Revelations. But do we see? Do we look? Do we become aware of what we are doing? The ice is melting. The sea level is rising. I saw fish from the ocean swimming in the streets of Miami, Florida on a sunny day just because it was high tide, because the Water is coming up in parts of North Carolina are affected by this phenomenon as well. So, do we recognize these signs? In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says these words, "When you see a cloud rise out of the west straight away, you say there comes a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. You hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right?" The poor, the disadvantaged, minority communities disproportionately suffer, but all human beings suffer, and not only human beings. This lovely litany that we read and listened to together reminds us of the other forms of life. Noah, we know about the flood, and we read the story. Noah was commanded by God to take one of each kind, and then he was told, "Keep them alive with thee." Now these scientists tell us that we are in danger of losing 50%, fully half, of all of the living creatures with which we share this earth in this century. Look. Remain awake. Remain aware. And it's not just around the world. Belews Creek used to have 17 species of fish until the coal ash came. 14 of those species are now gone. We did not keep them alive with us, but we are called to take action now. Three remain, and others remain. I believe that the purpose of life is to glorify God. And that means to me to live our lives and obey His commandments and go about our lives in a way that we can feel comfortable, that we can feel certain is the best we can do to be have our actions pleasing in His sight. If we are heaping contempt on God's creation, is that glorifying God? Sometimes I hear people say, "Well, environmentalists worship the earth." Environmentalists don't worship the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We worship the Creator. And the creation is something of which we are a part. And if we defile it and destroy it and heap contempt upon it, that is not the way we are supposed to be living our lives. What happened to those fish? They were taken in an evil net, as the Bible teaches in Ecclesiastes. Just as the birds are snared, and it goes on to say, even so are the sons of men snared in an evil time. Dominion is not domination. And we have a responsibility to care for the air, the water, the other creatures, and the communities where we live to protect them from these poisons. Now, that's all of the evidence of what has been going on is bad news. Here is the good news. We have another path that we can take. You know what the number one fastest growing job in the United States of America is today? Solar panel installer. That job is growing 9 times faster than other jobs in the economy. What's the number two fastest growing job in the economy? Wind turbine technician. We are seeing those countries that have shaken off the blinders that the fossil fuel companies want to put on them and look clearly at what's going on with solar and wind and batteries and electric vehicles and efficiency improvements of all kinds that are creating jobs and boosting incomes and making the economy more equitable. And the fossil fuel companies, you know, back when they started this, they had no idea that it was going to cause this potential global catastrophe, potentially even threatening the future of human civilization. They did not know, but they've known for a long time. And now is a time of accountability. And they've seen what this might mean for some of the shareholders and the profit streams. One of the experts on fossil fuels in Saudi Arabia a long time ago, he told the leaders of that country, he said, remember, the Stone Age did not end because of a shortage of stones. The Stone Age ended because something a lot better came along. We don't need coal ash anymore. We don't need global warming anymore. We don't need to be addicted to fossil fuels anymore. We need to move forward. You know, we heard in the video from Reverend Nelson Johnson. I met him and his wife. They're here this morning from Faith Community Church. Why is it that the fossil fuel companies want to file a lawsuit and enact penalties on a church that just wants to put solar panels on its roof and free themselves from the polluting fossil fuel system? That needs to change. Laws that stand in the way of people shifting to a more responsible and moral way of getting electricity, or like laws intentionally put in the way of people voting and expressing their democratic preference. We need to change these laws. We need to stop this coal ash. And by the way, it's not enough just to put a cap over the top of the coal ash dumps. What happens when these rain bombs come? It doesn't all fall on that cap and bounce off. It soaks the ground and it pulls the coal ash out. We need to stop this we need to stop these pipelines too, let me tell you. The ACP pipeline and the MVP pipeline. We need to get free of these fossil fuels. You know, they've done the president one better. He wants to build the wall and make Mexico pay for it, and all the Mexicans roll their eyes. That's not going to happen. They want to build this pipeline and tear up the land and then make you pay for it. And we'll see whether that works or not. We need to stop destroying the forests of North Carolina, turning them into little wood chips to send to Europe also. So I'm going to close by quoting a passage that is familiar to all of you from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day. I have set before you a choice, life or death. You can choose blessings, or you can choose curses. I would define blessings as including free energy from the sun and the wind without any pollution. I would define curses to include energy with dirty air and coal ash and global warming and rain bombs and floods and the killing of all the so many of the living species. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live. We are taught to not weary in well-doing. I quoted from a poem in the passage in the video that Reverend Barber and his assistants showed. By the way, I won't say a word about his. I talk about the deacons, but the assistants that all of the team here, the choir, the keyboards and the drums, the music ministry. I got to know Reverend Sherelle Heinen Uzel in Montgomery, and the music and the whole feeling in this church is such a blessing. I say as a visitor, I'm envious of those of you who are members of this church. Thank you so much. But I quoted from a poet named Wallace Stevens. And some 60 years ago, he wrote a poem in which he said, after the last no comes a yes. Yes. And on that yes, the future world depends. And yes, it is true that in all of the great historic struggles that have lifted up and improved the lives of human beings, there have been an endless series of no's. Resistance that was so strong and so fierce that many were tempted to despair. The abolition movement, the civil rights movement, the movement to give women the right to vote, and the ongoing struggle for women's equality. The anti-apartheid movement, which many said was impossible. More recently, the movement to end discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation because of the way God made this person or that person. If somebody had told me, I don't know, 10 years ago, that marriage equality would be legal in all 50 states, I would have said, well, I hope so, but I don't think that's possible. But it is a fact, and Reverend Barber, God has granted you many blessings, but He will bless you again for your courage and moral leadership in opening up this church to the LGBTQ community. All of God's children are equal. I was taught many years ago that if you want two people who feel they have a conflict to come together, or if you want two communities that have not been in fellowship to come together, sometimes the best way to accomplish that task is not to have them head straight in the direction of one another, but by choosing a common goal that is obviously a goal the achievement of which will improve the lives of everyone and have them both head toward that common goal. Before they know it, in achieving that goal, they're together. Fusion. A big tent approach to justice and environmental and ecological justice. I dearly hope that just as the Moral Mondays movement has been spread to communities throughout this land, and so many other church communities are now trying to equip themselves to take that kind of action, I hope that just as Moral Mondays inspired the country, I hope that your embrace in the Poor People's Campaign of ecological destruction as a target to, just like racism, just like poverty, just like militarism, I hope that can be a goal toward which we all move and bring our country together to create a better world. And if anybody believes that we as human beings do not have the stamina or the political will to continue this struggle until it is successful, just remember, political will is itself a renewable resource. Thank you very much.
Yes, it is. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Amen. While you're standing.
Yes, sir.
That's a good preaching. That's a gospel preaching. Renewable energy. The political will is renewable. First, because the people can be led by the Spirit to move, to march, to vote, to legislate and litigate in a way that it causes those in office to have to change.
Yeah.
It's renewable. It's also renewable because every so often we have something called elections. Folk can be removed and others can be put in. And from this pulpit, not as a Democrat or as a Republican, but as a moral voice, this church, we say to the media, go ask the politicians who are running for office not to give you cute phrases, you know, and trying to call people socialists, and you're talking about I'm on the right and I'm on the left. Ask them, where are they on the death caused by coal ash? Where are they on renewable energy? Where are they on the issues of pipelines that would destroy the land and the water? We ask the media to ask real questions. In fact, we ought to have a couple of debates where people like the ones who testify here are the people who ask the questions, so that we can change the conversation. To the church, we have a responsibility until breath is in our body no more, and as the old folk says, our tongue are cleaved to the roof of our mouths, to speak truth to power. When Jesus first lifted the poor, the broken, the sick, the least, and the left out as his mission, that day they tried to kill him. But he said, I must be about my Father's business. And so today we are called to action. This was a call to action. And I want to first give an invitation to anybody who's in this area. As Brother Gore said, we here believe that all people, regardless of their race, their color, their creed, their sexuality, are creations of God. And here is a place where all you have to bring is yourself to be loved and to be a part of God's work. I'd ask, is there one here this morning that needs a church home, that needs a place of fellowship? We would invite you to come this morning if you're here. Wherever you are, just come as you are. You don't have to come in any special way. You don't have to do anything. You can just come and make this your church home this morning here at Greenlee Christian Church. God bless you, baby. God bless you, baby. Is there another? Is there another? God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Is there another that would come today and be a member of Greenlee Christian Church? God bless your heart this morning. You're from Wayne County. You're from Johnston. You're from Raleigh. You're from Wake. Amen. Is there another here that would be willing to come and be a part of a movement? Not a stale museum, but a movement. A movement of love, a movement of grace. We don't care what color, what kind. God made us all, red, yellow, black, or white. We're all precious in God's sight. Is there another? Would you have them turn toward me, ministers? Amen. Could I get your name? I know it, but I want the people to hear it. Would you say it? Tether for Nail, amen. Have you been baptized? Are you coming to be baptized, to be united with this congregation? Amen. We will walk you through the confession of faith. And I think if I'm here on the fourth Sunday, we're going to see if there is some renewable water in that baptismal pool back there. My dear sister?
Shirley Baker.
Shirley Baker, have you already been baptized? No, sir. Do you come as a confession of your faith to receive the love and the grace of Jesus Christ? She comes this morning to receive the love of Jesus Christ as a confession of faith. Somebody ought to give God glory. Is there this young lady? I've been seeing you. Hello. And your name?
Alexa.
Are you from here, this area? Mount Olive. Hey, Alexa, have you ever been baptized? You have. Do you come to fellowship with this congregation? And you believe in Christ the Lord, and you believe in the call to love and justice. Amen. And so this morning, three souls. Now the Bible said that heaven shouts over one. But we ought to give God praise for three sisters who come this morning. And I want to give you a special blessing. Amen. I don't know if anybody else has ever done this in this county. I want you to be welcomed to the church by another fellow member of the church, Al Gore. I want you to be welcomed by the former vice president, environmental activist, and Jack Lake preacher this morning. If he come down and shake your hand. Nobody else said you were welcome into the house of God.
Well,
Welcome to Greenleaf. What a wonderful blessing in this city. Welcome to Greenleaf. God bless you. Welcome to Greenleaf. God bless you.
God bless these souls who have come. Release every gift in them, provide every grace for them, and sustain them with your love and your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Reverend Dr. Three and Minister Shirley Brinson, they will care for you after service. Please go with them. They have some things because you're no longer visitors here. You are members of the family and the fellowship of faith. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I had a cloth I gave someone, a stole. Would you bring it to me? Amen. And so, we have to look and live. We've got to see these issues. The church can't hide. We are called to be a light. And in a church that keeps its eyes closed in this time, it does not call out injustice and call out those who are performing that injustice, we are not living up to what we have been called to do. It is a form of theological malpractice. We also have seen this morning, in particular out here in the South, we cannot let racism divide us. And so they said they would put the pipeline in Eastern North Carolina in the Black Belt because they thought maybe, you know, maybe. But how many folk are white that are also from down in Northeastern North Carolina and you're going to stand up against that pipeline? And I'm telling you, when white and black get together, we can change things in this country. We can change things in this country. And brown, you saw this morning, I want you to see black and white who are affected by coal ash spill. Stand up, black and white. I want you to see this. See this. I want you to see the picture. Do not buy into those who want to divide us. And remember, as you look at people, the same people that suppress the vote also allow corporations to pollute our water and our air. The same people who pollute our water and our air most of the time vote against public education. The same people that vote against public education most of the time vote against expansion of health care. And so if they are cynical enough to be together, we ought to be smart enough to come together. Am I right about that? You may be seated. Brother Gore, someone gave me this. This is a piece of mud cloth. And I was with Sister Allen, who you've heard a number of times singing, and I was in the store. This is mud cloth from the motherland. And elders often wear these as a sign of their authority, right? And so this one was made into a stole for me. But since you're going around preaching, and since as a bishop I do have the authority to give at least a jackleg ministerial license to you so you'll be legal, I want to place this mud cloth. Let us honor the elder among us. That's what that word cloth. He's an elder among us. At this time, there are two ladies you all have to listen to, Barbara and Pat Hogan. Now, I'm telling you, they are nice if you behave. They know how to handle a crowd, so y'all just be cool. We're going to do the offering, tithes, media. We'll meet you in a minute, but we have to do all things as we're in worship this morning. I invite them to come. Financial officer, they will decide how they want to do this. If they want to take the trays, they want to bring you around. Let them lead us, Barbara and Sister Pat Hokett. We're going to do one basket this morning. We at Greenleaf, we give tithes, seeds, and offering. Tithes, we sow 10% in order those that desire. We are a church that we do not buy golden toilet stools and limousines for the pastor. We build up the community. We care about people. We also give an offering after the tithe. And then sometimes people want to sow a seed. And so we'll sow a seed. And so we always have two children to come and stand with us this morning. I think they're going to do it. So, okay. So the seed offering, because the seed is we sow for the future. So if you want to give a tithe and offering, but also give a seed that's above the tithe and offering, that goes in the basket that's my child. I want to ask all of us to come, return to your seats, if you would honor us on this, because we have some people, we got to go out first. Please recognize that we're doing some things for security protocol, and we hope that you will be respectful of that. While they're singing, Rambel and Cheryl, Sherelle, I like that. You can say, you notice that when he said that, she ain't correct him now, if it had been me. But I understand. You know, I would have done the same thing. But there's a song that says, Yara, if the Spirit says march, we'll march. I hope I'm not blowing everything. If the Spirit says march, we'll march. It's an old song I used to sing in the Civil Rights Movement. If the Spirit says march, we'll march. And then it says, if the Spirit says jail, we'll go to jail. If the Spirit says stand, we'll stand. Am I right, Lord? If the Spirit says fight, we'll fight. Well, if we're going to deal with these issues, if we're going to challenge the spirit of evil and greed, then we have to follow the spirit of justice. And when it tells us to move, we have to move. I hope that I have not messed the praise team up. I pray to God I haven't. But Reverend Bell, I believe y'all got it. I know y'all believe you got it. I hope you will sing that during the time that we come. Let us hear Sister Hogan. Amen.
Will the ministers, the deacons, congregation, please stand, face the wall, and follow the instructions of the ushers. Thank you.
Okay. Let the ministers come down first, and Reverend Holmes, you will give the prayer and blessings after the offering, and Reverend Three, you will be able to close us out this morning.